While the alcohol industry won't be headed to court over the ban on alcohol sales just yet, SAB has put on ice 2.5 billion rand of capex for this year and is reviewing its planned 2.5 billion rand expenditure for next year as well. That, together with Heineken and Consol's pulls on their investments, has cost South Africa close to 13 billion rand, a direct consequence of the booze ban implemented in the country. Vice President of Finance at SAB, Andrew Murray, joins me now. Thanks so much, Andrew, for your time this evening. So some of the commentary that has been coming through is that this is the prudent thing for companies to be doing now in times of distress, preserving the balance sheet. But this goes a whole lot deeper than that, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, thank you for having me on. I think, yes, it is the prudent thing now to be reviewing investment levels. For us, all businesses need to review investment levels given the COVID-19 pandemic. I think that's what we see across the globe. The deeper part of it's here in South Africa is South Africa is one of a very few number of nations who's imposed a complete ban on our industry. And that poses even more uncertainty for us on top of the economic uncertainty that we face in this country is what's going to happen with our industry, when we'll be able to trade again, and what trading will look like when we are able to resume.
As you say, you know, SAB, just one part of an entire value chain that we're looking at here. So the cost of the economy that we're going to be looking at far graver than the 13 billion rand headline number we've been seeing. Has the maths been done, Andrew, on the extent to which the impact goes beyond what we're seeing being reflected in those headline numbers?
Sure. I mean, let me give you some high-level numbers that we've been looking at. So the nearly 13 weeks that we've been under a sales ban so far in South Africa has cost the total industry over 25 billion rand of revenues. Those revenues, of course, flow throughout the entire value chain, which for us as an industry is 1 million livelihoods impacted. There's a GDP multiplier in South Africa of roughly 1.4 for the industry at large. And so this is a material impact on economic growth. Our ability to place investments, the ability of our suppliers and our partners to invest in their businesses and to see growth, of course, right now is completely halted. And that's that economic machine we hope to be able to re-energize here soon. And we hope to be part of the solution to bring back the growth in South Africa and make sure that we can help deliver prosperity for the millions of South Africans who depend.
Yeah, because while we wait for that to happen, Andrew, what is furiously brewing is frustration that government has closed ranks against its citizens. Are you feeling the same as a business operating in South Africa? Have you managed to have any constructive engagement with the likes of the DTI?
To be honest, I have a great deal of sympathy. I know it's a quite a challenging position to be in government these days with the COVID pandemic, and we see that across the globe, as I mentioned. But we haven't yet had the ability to have deep, fulsome conversations where both parties sit across the table. Since the beginning of the pandemic arrived in South Africa in March, we've extended an invitation to be part of the solution. We do believe SAB, with its 125 years operating in this country with particular skill sets in project management, construction, distribution, procurement, to name a few things, that we have a lot that we can do to work together with all the stakeholders to help South Africa get through this period. Mm-hmm. We continue to make that offer and to continue to be available, and we would look forward to having increased levels of consultation and collaboration in order to do that.
Andrew, so when you have the DTI saying they're looking at every avenue to sustain and create local jobs, deepen the level of industrialization and support local businesses, what kind of response does a statement like that elicit from you? It's got to irk you somewhat.
Again, I think there's challenges, of course, in the positions that are there, but we fundamentally believe that a ban on our industry is counter to that objective. We do believe that there's a million jobs that are dependent upon our industry. Hundreds of thousands of workers are beginning to feel that stress. There's already over 100,000 jobs lost due to the bans that have been put in place. And our industry is quite deep. It goes all the way from emerging farmers through to taverners in local townships. Many of these individuals are small enterprises, and we think that's the vibrancy of the economy, and that's the power of our economic engine.
And, you know, you talk about that power. It's going to be a kind of force that's going to be reckoned with for a while, yet it isn't going to be an automatic switch, you know, that gets flicked on once bans are lifted. How long before you then start pumping investment back in?
Yeah, it's a great question. Look, I mean, there's, as I said, there's a few things here. So one is, what's the general economic environment look like in South Africa? What is the consumer spending going to be with discretionary spend, given the economic situation that's here? The forecasts are for a GDP decline of 10%, and I think that'll put pressure on the consumer. But for our industry in particular, where we've seen that around the rest of the world is that the industry has been quite resilient, where we're able to trade. And again, South Africa is a unique situation where we're not able to trade in this industry, and we don't have a line of sight for when we will be able to. But for an investment decision, we need to take a look at both those things, and we need to have some certainty for what the field will look like for us as an industry going forward. And right now, we don't have any of that certainty at all.
Yeah. Andrew, that being said, then, what kind of conversations are being had between South African management and the board of AB InBev, you know, in the global company, and on a global scale, is a writing off of South Africa a topic that is, in fact, being broached?
Yeah, so Global AB InBev is very supportive of the investment that's been made in South Africa. We are here in South Africa and continue to be committed to the South African business that we have. That said, Global AB InBev did release results for the second quarter last week. There was an impairment that was taken on the South African business in those results. It was due to a worst-case scenario and a likelihood scenario based on that. But the environment is worrying, but Global AB InBev is still supportive of South Africa. We're still committed at SAB to be a part of the South African future. But we need to make sure that we're making the right and prudent business decisions, as you suggest. And investment environment is quite unclear and uncertain right now.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Andrew, for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, SAB's Vice President of Finance, Andrew Murray.